Good stuff. Radio is on the air, you baby boys. My name is Darian. I am back for another week of horror bullshit.
Yeah.
My main man Buddy's in the house.
What's going on?
What's up, Buddy?
Oh, you know.
2 weeks in a row, man.
I know.
Look at us.
I know.
Woo!
It's great. It's great.
What's up with you?
I got two more days of my job before I start the new one.
Nice.
Yes.
What are you more excited about, the new one or getting rid of the old one?
It's a mixture of both.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
it's
bittersweet.
I get it.
Yeah.
You're going to be out there in the sticks a little bit.
A little bit.
What is it, about a 40-minute drive?
Yeah, about a 40-minute drive versus a 4-minute that I have now.
Oh, I wouldn't give that up. I walk to work. Right. Dude. Yeah, forget it. Just get up and walk right out.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. It's exciting.
Yeah.
You want to know what I did this weekend?
Yeah.
Came in fourth in my age group.
What?
At the River Run.
Wow.
Yeah. It was only a 10K. But still, number four over here with a bullet.
How far behind third, or did they even tell you?
I don't know. I can tell you what I do know. A buddy of mine ran in the 20 to 29 age group.
Uh-huh.
I beat him by quite a bit, and he came in second in his age group.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is I should have registered as 20 to 29. I probably would have got first place.
Yeah.
That's just... my freaking luck, buddy.
Well, now you know what to do next year.
Yeah. Apparently, I need to lie about my age, tell them I'm younger than I actually am.
Yeah, but you have to shave the beard because the grays, you know, they're going to give you away.
Nobody's buying me at 20 to 29, I'll tell you right now.
Right.
Stupid. Right on, man. Also took my wife to see Jerry Seinfeld.
Ooh.
That was a pretty funny show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He, nice. He has not lost a beat.
Really?
In the stand-up.
Oh, that's good.
Region, yeah.
Very good.
Very clean, though. You know,
really?
But like he said ass like twice or something like that.
That was it.
That was it. Still, he just works clean, you know? Hmm. Still got it.
That's good.
I don't know if those tickets were worth what I paid for them.
No.
Yeah. quite a pretty penny there. It was worth it. I'd say it's
worth good.
Because, you know, how many times are you gonna see Jerry Seinfeld?
Right.
All right, well, we got a regular horror show to get into here, Flapjacks.
Mm-hmm.
Horror news, listener mail, all the usual stuff. How about we kick things off with a little horror news?
Oh, yeah.
Horror news.
All right, buddy, what do you got there?
You know, I got a few things here. Let me see what I can find.
Okay.
I am not prepared.
You are wildly unprepared. Almost as bad as me, man.
Yeah.
I literally put this show together as I hear your motorcycle pull up.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
All right, well, it's been a long time since I talked about some Funko news.
Oh. I fucking knew it, buddy.
Official Funko video game, Funko Fusion, unites properties including The Thing and Jaws.
I'm curious.
You know, did you watch the trailer?
No.
I actually watched the trailer. They look exactly like the Funko dolls.
The little stupid Funko dolls.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, Funko and 1010 Games have announced upcoming video game Funko Fusion this afternoon. And much to our delight, the game is absolutely loaded with Funko Pop-style horror icons. All the way from John Carpenter's The Thing, The Mummy, Jaws, Jurassic World, Jordan Peele's Nope.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was watching the trailer, I saw Hot Fuzz in there and Shaun of the Dead and Walking Dead and all that cool stuff.
All right.
Well, it is coming to PC, PlayStation 4, and 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch on September 13th this year. And if you pre-order for physical console editions of the game, open starting today as select global retails with pre-ordering opening across digital storefronts soon. It also comes with, oh, I know it's on here, a Walking Dead stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Walking Dead pack at launch for no additional cost, only if you pre-order.
Yeah.
Yeah. It includes two additional playable characters from Skybound's award-winning The Walking Dead comic books, Rick Grimes and Michonne Hawthorne. The pack also includes variant outfits for both characters, Rick Grimes as Alexandria's leader and Michonne in her traveler outfit.
I think I'm going to pass.
You going to pass on that one?
I think so. I can't get past the blockheads. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a cute... It looks cute.
Sure, maybe but, for the kids.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I gotta quit playing video games anyway, buddy. Yeah. I got a whole fucking closet full of them. I play two of them. Yeah, Mortal Kombat and Dead by Daylight.
Oh, yeah, that's the every two time I always see you play.
Every time I go to the game store, I'm like, oh, look at this one. It looks awesome.
When am I gonna play this?
And then I put it in, and I'm like, oh, instructions. Oh,
I take
it out, and I put Dead by Daylight right back
here. Yep. There are two new Evil Dead movies now in the works. Sebastian Vanisek and Francis Gallupi directing. It's described as an original story that's developed and brought to Raimi and team. No word on a plot or who will be producing as its early days are here.
I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Hmm.
It's going to be some kind of an expansive universe thing. That's going to incorporate the previous movies.
Yeah, somehow.
That would be my prediction. Mm-hmm. They already kind of set it up in Evil Dead Rise with the mention of 3 Necronomicons. So I think that was their intention all along.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm into it.
Yeah, definitely.
I about had an impacted colon full of all this expanded universe shit.
But why not? Bring on more.
I mean, fucking fuck.
If they're going to do it, let's just do it.
I guess.
Yeah, the new course for the Evil Dead franchise is for Sam Raimi to hand-select hot up-and-coming filmmakers to put their own spin on the Deadites, which has been working exceedingly well for the Bloody Saga.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think
so. Evil Dead Rise was great.
Mm-hmm.
And Sebastian Vanacek was like the main driving force behind that. If he's involved in the newest installments, it should be pretty good.
Yeah. The Invisible Man 2 with Elizabeth Moss. Elizabeth Moss says the sequel is actually happening. It's closer than ever. So the original film ended its worldwide run of $144 million back in 2020, which is a massive win considering it was only a $7 million budget.
Okay.
Man, they raked it in.
Oh, yeah. That was huge.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the first movies to get pulled from the theater during the COVID shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
But it went straight to VOD.
Yeah.
So it still made... It probably would have done better if it had had like an actual theatrical run.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I know Lee Whannell directed that one, and he's also directing this upcoming Wolfman
with
Ryan Gosling.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another expansive universe, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
I'm sure it is.
I hope so. I hope so. Let's get the Universal Monster Universe that we were promised and never delivered because you, buddy, had to shit all over Tom Cruise. I'm holding you responsible, sir.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's all I got. What do you got?
Oh, dude. Are you ready for Slaughter Beach?
Oh, yeah.
Now streaming on Tubi. It is being described as a trauma-style horror comedy.
Yes.
Okay, you got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully, there's probably going to be plenty of boobs in there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm into that. And as long as it's not an actual trauma movie, then it might be okay.
Yeah.
If Wood Kaufman gets his grubby mitts on it, then it's just going to be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, if you're in the mood for it, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I would prefer, like, at least make an attempt to make a horror movie.
Right.
I'll probably check it out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like images are out for Fear Street 1988. Prom Queen.
Yes.
I'm into this. I want to know more about those killers that were just kind of Easter egged in the initial trilogy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They could do, what was there, like 7 or 8 of them, I think? They could just keep cranking these things out as like an ongoing franchise.
Oh, yeah.
And I was pretty pleasantly surprised by the original trilogy.
Yeah, so me too.
I'm into this. I'm going to see where it goes. Are you ready for a Scooby-Doo live-action series?
Yeah.
Yes, you are, buddy. Yes, you are.
I was going to talk about this, but I crossed it off my list.
Well, I should have also.
Live-action, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I'll check it out.
Been about 20 years since the other ones, right?
Yeah, since Sarah Michelle Gellar and Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze. And...
Yeah. Whatever, man. Maybe I think they're trying to ride the success of Wednesday.
Yes.
So now they're going to try to bring back some more.
I don't think it's going to go too well.
Why not?
Because one with Matthew Lillard and all them, I think those were really good.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to beat that.
Have you – there's an animated series on HBO Max called Velma.
No, I did not see
it. And it's adult-oriented.
Oh.
Yeah. I have not seen – I've not seen it.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm afraid I'm going to have to beat off to a cartoon, which I will do, by the way. I'm versatile like that, buddy. no, but it's just Velma, and I think it's like adult Velma after whatever happens with the Scooby Gang. But she goes on to try to...
Her own thing?
Yeah, solve mysteries, and, I don't know, maybe. Hmm. Maybe we're checking out. Lastly, Spirit Halloween Stores.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are going to be offering an atomic ray gun for Mars Attacks.
Yes.
It's actually going to be a fog machine.
Yeah, with black lights.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I couldn't find how much it was going for.
Yeah, me neither. But I would imagine probably in the 50.
Yeah, it'll probably go fast. Imagine. Like, as soon as by the time we actually think about getting one, it's gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those fucking Spirit Halloween stores, dude.
Yeah,
they open, like, at the beginning of August.
And everything's done by the second week.
You go in there, like, early September, it's all fucking picked clean, you know? And it's all dipshits like us. Oh, I'm going to put this in my horror den. Hoo-hoo-hoo.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking assholes.
I know.
Horror fans ruin everything, buddy.
Yeah.
That's all I got on the horror news, dude. You ready for some listener mail?
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
Listener mail.
All right. No emails this week. Looks like we got some voicemails, though. Let's kick things off with our main man in Alabama, Alan.
Hey, what's going on, Alan?
What's up?
What's up, Alan?
Looks what's going like on? I got that job.
Nice. Congratulations. Shout out
to Jason Harrell.
Awesome.
Really appreciate the prayers and stuff, man.
Of course.
So, Meat Hook, Female Zombies. I'm going to go the Dead Girl from Dead Girl.
Oh, that's a good one.
Then Trash. And then I'm going to go Julie from Living Dead 3. And Mr. Darien, are you the final girls?
You nailed it.
Everybody's doing good. I'm watching Talk To Me right now. It's pretty freaking good.
I heard cool. Good things.
That's all I got. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I have not seen Talk To Me yet.
I haven't either.
I've heard good things.
Is this streaming yet?
I don't know. I haven't looked. Maybe. Jason Harrell got a replica of the hand, and he made us all sign it.
Yep.
I don't think you're supposed to do that. I think that's what causes all the shit in the movie.
Yeah, I think what it is whenever he thinks about us, he just puts one of those fingers in his butthole.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
We just signed his sex doll.
That's much. Right.
Motherfucker. Yeah. I feel like I should... I feel dirty. That's disgusting, man. Let's get up to Anderson, Indiana. Coop Newcomb in the house.
All right.
Hello, Darien.
Hello, Cooper.
Buddy, if you're there again.
Hey.
I think the Meat Hook you said was
female
zombies. And I had to have some help from Alan on this one.
So oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with number one, the woman from Return of the Living Dead 3, I believe it was.
Julie,
Just because of the name she
talked. I don't understand that.
Anyway, number two... In the original return or the first Return of the Living Dead,
Trash.
I think it was a female zombie that they pulled through the window, and it still had like a chunk of
that one.
Head
yeah.
that went through her organs and or what was her organs, rib cage and shit. I thought that was nice.
Half the chick.
She had a little.
And then she started talking shit.
Like a little tail moving. Anyway.
Yeah.
I loved her. I was that tripped me out.
brains.
The last one I'm gonna go with the stripper zombie at the very beginning during the credits, the opening credits of Zombieland. The one had their tits out and shit just because she was hot.
There you go.
Fair enough. Sure.
That's all I have. Have a good night.
Beautiful.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Coop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the appeal of Return of the Living Dead 3. You know what I mean? Number one, she's not hot. Number two, she gets progressively less hot as she starts fucking shoving things in her face. I don't. And then at the, like when the Mexicans go down there to try to snuff her out, she's like, "Oh, come here," and they're like, "Ooh, Issy, she looking pretty good," and then they all like, they're gonna go fuck her. She's got broken glass sticking out of her face, man. Mm-hmm. That is not sexy. I don't know. Maybe it's just maybe I'm the only one that doesn't find it sexy. There's a website for that somewhere. XXXmutilation.com.
That's right.
Ugh! Forget it. Well, we haven't heard from him in a while, but he's back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mr. Tom Hardy himself.
Hey, Tom Hardy.
Hey, yo.
Padded room. How's my favorite?
Long time, my friend.
We hope everyone is doing well. Darian, thank you for keeping the fort down.
Hey, we're trying.
I want to get in real quick. And hey.
Hey.
Been a bit, but
we missed you.
Get back in it.
You got it.
Put me down to educate, and I believe we got the final girls.
You nailed it.
Man, I love that flick.
Mm-hmm. Me too. It's hilarious.
I think it's one of those flicks though that was just ruined by being like PG or PG-13.
That
yeah,
it would have gone like a hard R rating.
Sure,
it would have been fucking fantastic. It'd have been like a top 10.
I agree.
But good flick all in all. On the zombie chicks for your meat hook.
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know if you can do any better than trash.
I agree.
Is there any other memorable, like super memorable ones? The only ones I came up with was the zombie queen from Army of the Dead.
Oh,
oh yeah.
One, I suppose, and then I don't know if you count it, but
sure.
The dead girl from Dead Girl.
Dead Girl, yeah.
Yeah.
Some pretty fucked up poop there.
It's true.
Anyway, hope all is well. Oh, I want to get in real quick with a little what are you looking at?
Sure.
I did catch this flick on Hulu called The Stranger.
Huh.
It was all right.
Okay.
It was, the one good thing you got to give it is it gets going right off the bat.
And well, that's good.
Like,
okay.
You're 10 minutes in that flick and the shit's on.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know. Did kind of have like some, maybe it's all in their head. You know, I don't want to ruin it because it is literally a brand new flick. But,
okay.
It has some shit in there where it's like, hey, maybe this, and maybe it's absolutely nothing. So I don't know. Kind of a letdown there.
All right. Well, you got my curiosity.
I want to get into is I took your advice there and gave the remake Elm Street another chance.
Okay.
Another watch.
What do you think? How mad are you?
Fucking sucks, man.
Oh,
I think I'm a little bit better able to articulate why I think it sucks now.
Okay.
One of the things that really pisses me off about it is the whole, the kids are like, hey, well, maybe Freddy didn't do it. Maybe he's actually in it. Why even go that route? You spend like just kind of side quests, I don't know, 20-some minutes of the film, like, maybe nothing ever happened and our parents just fucking killed them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why? Why? I don't know. It was just a fucking stupid-ass side quest.
Okay.
Where it could have got a little bit more.
Is it a video game?
Into the meat of the fucking flip.
Okay.
And the other thing that really pisses me off is they figure out that, yes, Freddy did fucking molest them and try to kill them or kill some of them or whatever when he was the maintenance man.
Right.
But then the parents, or the kids,
GP'd,
mm-hmm.
as he is wont to do. So, we're going to talk a little bit here about the Friday, the 2010? The Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Mm-hmm.
This is just me. I know that nobody particularly likes that movie.
No.
I like the original better for certain reasons, but I like the remake better for other reasons. What I will say is I don't think it's as bad as everybody makes it out to be. Tom Hardy's talking about the element of maybe Freddy was innocent.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was this is just my humble opinion. I felt like that was something that kind of needed to be touched on if you're going to do the remake justice. Because in the original franchise, they tap dance around the child molestation element.
Right.
And you never, not until Freddy's dead, I think, do you actually get an answer to what the fuck happened. And then they dodge it completely. They say, well, they took his daughter away, so he went and killed a bunch of their kids. Mm-hmm. No mention of any kind of sexual anything, which is fine. I'm not saying I need him to be a child molester.
Right.
But if you're dealing with child victims, I feel like the topic at least needs to be broached.
Right.
So that being said, I kind of like the idea that they at least, you know, maybe he was innocent. You know, it kind of gives that character another layer of depth. Because if he's just this wrongfully persecuted individual, and now he's back to take revenge, now, you know, you kind of understand why. Mm-hmm. As opposed to him just being a sick bastard and making a bananas packed with a bunch of sperm demons, and then now he's a dream killer type of dude.
Right.
Which, I mean, take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. It is what they wrote in Freddy's Dead. So I don't, whatever you want, whichever one you want to go with. But with the one thing that I kind of like that they evened out in the remake is that they said, yeah, there was molestation.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And now he's back to wreak havoc. But mm-hmm. were the parents justified in burning him alive? I mean, there's other ways to go about things. But at the same time, if it was my kid, maybe you go ahead and in light of
douse him. Yeah.
And sorry if he comes back to kill you later in a couple 10, 15 years, but I'll feel better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Tom Hardy called back, of course. Let's get him queued up. G motherfucking peed, bro. Hell yeah.
Anyway, as I was saying.
Huh.
I don't know where I got cut off, but the parents basically, the kids find out that no, that Freddy is a real asshole.
Yeah.
And fucking he deserves to die. But then they're all pissed at the parents for killing them.
Right.
For killing Freddy.
Yeah.
It was like, what the fuck did you want, man? I mean, the guy's a fucking asshole, you know? And mm-hmm. It just seemed like it was this drama for drama's sake. I'm going to yell and scream at you, Mom, because I can't believe you did this. Why did you call the police? Man, if your fucking my parents killed somebody that molested me, I'd be like fucking high-fiving them. I'd be like, hey, way to be, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you set the fucking stage.
Sure.
I don't know, man. You know, one thing I got to say that a lot of people talk about that one, the makeup on Freddy, how bad it is.
I didn't think it was that bad. Yeah.
I thought it was actually pretty creepy, except for, I don't know what it is, but like, the bottom lip or the chin of Freddy just looks, maybe it's that actor.
It could be.
It just looks weird.
Like, Jackie Earle Haley?
It doesn't look scary. It doesn't look burned. Yeah. It doesn't look special effect. It just looks weird.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe an Uncanny Valley thing, but you know,
right.
It didn't sit right.
Sure.
Oh, the other thing.
Huh.
Freddy goes through the flick, and he's being more scary than punny.
Right.
Like, in the mm-hmm. later.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
fine. You know, it's, hey, man, that was kind of the very first one.
Right.
Exactly.
He had a couple of little quips, but the whole flick wasn't about. But then when he does decide to fucking crack a joke, some kind of wet dream, oh, man. What the fuck is this? I don't know. All in all, yeah, it's not as bad as I remember it.
Okay.
It's still not fucking good.
I'll give you that.
Anyway, that's all I got. I hope all is well. Love you like family. Bye now.
Love you too, Tom Hardy. Glad you're back, big guy.
Heck
missed
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, now this brings to light the conundrum. Because there is like a paradox of A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
So Tom Hardy says, yes, I would be happy if you killed the guy that molested me. But if he was still alive in a prison cell somewhere, he wouldn't be coming back as a dream demon.
Right.
So to that regard, I would probably be pissed that they did kill him. Because now the parents are free and clear. And I got to deal with this asshole haunting me in my dreams mm-hmm. every night and killing my friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I might be a little upset at Mom and Dad about that, too.
Yep.
Not that I would have to worry about that with my parents, because they wouldn't get off the fucking couch. They wouldn't. Oh, you got molested, huh? Yeah, well, that'll happen. Yeah, you probably should call the cops, whatever. That was my childhood, buddy. That is all we have on listener mail, my friend. You got anything for Alan, Cooper, or Tom Hardy?
Thanks, everybody, for calling and writing in.
Love you guys. Yeah. Ready to get into a movie?
Sure am.
Let's hit it.
You are now in the deep end of horror. Shockwaves. Once they were almost human.
You mean to say that what we all saw out there is just a mirage?
It was a minor underwater disturbance, with a hot sky acting on a cold current coming from a mile down below.
Something unknown, something unforeseen, something unspeakable lives below, and it lives to destroy. They have risen.
We created the perfect soldier from cheap hoodlums and thugs, and a good number of pathological murderers and sadists as well. We called them the Toten Corps, the Death Corps, creatures more horrible than any you can imagine.
From beyond the dead, from beneath the living, from the depths of hell's ocean, everything they touch will die in the deep. Shockwaves.
Give me the flashlight.
We'll be left with nothing but that oil there.
You don't need it. I need all the help I can get out there. Now let me have it.
Starring the masters of shock, John Carradine and Peter Cushing.
You are indeed very stupid. Now it is too late.
Now the total horror has begun. Now there is no way out. Now the ocean becomes a graveyard. The faster you run, the quicker you die. Because once they were almost human. Shockwaves. The deep end of horror.
That's Shockwaves, buddy.
Yeah.
1977 got 5.5 stars on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Ken Wiederhorn. Written by John Kent Harrison. Starring John Carradine, Brooke Adams, and Peter Cushing. We are in Zombie Town.
Yes.
We're Nazi Zombie Town, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what else you'd call them other than zombies.
I don't know if they were actually zombies. They were just like a medical experiment or whatever.
Just ugly guys in the
water. Yeah.
Could like, be.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, they struck me as dead.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. So, yeah, man.
I mean, they were more killers than they didn't really eat anybody.
I kind of wish they would have.
Yeah.
And some of these. Oh, God. Okay.
We'll get there.
You ever notice how, like, there's in every zombie movie, there's one dipshit, like, in the group of survivors
mm-hmm.
that just. Fucking, it's just a stupid ass.
Yeah.
In this one, I feel like they're all dipshits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Because they do some really stupid things, buddy.
Yeah.
And it's fucking, it pisses me off. I like the movie, but these are the dumbest group of people that I've seen in a long time.
Right.
All right.
I think Richard Simmons was in here, too.
Oh, yeah. That fro. That fro was something, huh? Holy cow. Anyway, we start off with a quick little monologue and some World War II footage about a elite unit of German soldiers from World War II were trained. And during the fall of Nazi Germany, the Nazis started experimenting with supernatural elements to try to create a super soldier. And there was a unit that would fight only with their bare hands, and they would kill everybody, and not they seemed to be unstoppable. But none of these, the soldiers from that unit were ever taken alive, and none of their bodies were ever found. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
And then we cut to prologue part two, where we have a young lady adrift at sea in like a lifeboat. And she's pretty beat up and sunburnt and dehydrated.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets rescued. And now she's like writing her own monologue about, oh, I don't know how long I was at sea. All I remember is some guy grabbing me and then, but the horrors that I came from and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to actually start our movie. We start off on a sightseeing cruise, I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
Like a little tour.
Like a private tour.
Yeah, on a really shitty boat.
Yeah.
I would not pay for, want to inspect the vessel before I pay money to go on there. Anyway, we got about seven people on this boat. It's like a schooner. And I guess they're somewhere in the Caribbean area, South Pacific, I'll say.
Sure.
That makes the most sense to me. I don't know. What do we got? We got the captain, who's played by John Carradine,
mm-hmm.
salty, crusty old guy.
Mm-hmm.
We have his navigator, I guess, a guy named Keith. He's like the young stud of the group.
Yeah.
You can tell because he's got the mustache.
Right.
Yeah, and the long flowing deacon hair.
Mm-hmm.
Whoosh. We have a random single chick played by Brooke Adams. Her name is Rose. I think she's pretty hot for Keith.
Yeah.
We'll get more into that in a second. We have the neurotic couple, Norman and Beverly. All they do is complain about everything nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
We have the random single guy, Chuck, who looks pretty good with his shirt off, but he's got the full 70s fro.
Yeah.
The white guy fro, which is very Richard Simmons-y.
It is.
It's Simmons
adjacent. Short shorts.
Oh, yeah. Short. He's got it all.
Yeah.
And then we have the cook, a crusty old alcoholic named Dobbs. And I think that's about it. So we're chugging along out in the South Pacific, and everything's going cool. The captain's yelling at Keith all the time because he can't remember coordinates or, you know, navigational points or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Rose is out doing a little scuba diving. Already we're getting underwater footage, Halloween style, of like an old shipwreck.
Yeah.
Just kind of laced in here periodically. Rose comes up from her dive and suddenly everything goes yellow.
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know what the fucking point of that was.
Hmm.
All right. I think that was like them. I don't know what it was, but everything goes like sepia yellow.
And yeah.
Everybody freaks out. Why is everything all yellow? What the shit is this all about? And they're all like, it's fucking yellow, dude. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we got jaundiced or something.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, starts Norman on a... He immediately wants to have a mutiny and take over the ship.
Yeah.
But it's not like the captain...
And turn around. He wants them to turn around.
Why? Why? Because everything was yellow? The captain has no control over the contrast.
Over anything, really.
Yeah. Really? I mean, he's complaining because the boat is making a lot of noise. And
yeah.
The captain is saying, oh, yeah, we got a worn crankshaft, whatever the hell that means. But, yeah, that has nothing to do with everything being yellow all of a sudden.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, now all of a sudden Norman wants... Yeah, Norman wants to have a mutiny.
Yeah.
He's like, we need to take matters into our own heads. There's an able-bodied sailor, and he needs to talk to the captain. We need to turn around. Everybody's going, calm the hell down, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that night, after everything goes back to normal colors, Rose comes up, and like Keith is like the late-night navigator,
mm-hmm.
which means he basically just sits at the wheel and reads newspapers and does crossword puzzles.
Steering with his feet.
Rose comes up. Clearly, this was meant to be a sexual encounter, but I think Keith may have been gay.
Maybe.
Because no interest in Rose.
Yeah, there was no vibe.
No, Rose was kind of hot, too. She looked good in a bikini, yeah. I thought. But played by Brooke Adams.
Yeah, you know who that is?
Yeah.
The guy who plays Monk?
Yeah.
That's his wife.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Tony Shalhoub?
Yeah.
Very cool. Boy, he kicked it up a notch.
Yeah.
He's out of his league with her, I think. I don't know. Anyway, Keith isn't having anything to do with it. For dinner that night, they like t- tell ghost stories and stuff around, and everybody's mm-hmm. freaking out, and I think we ran into a ghost ship. While they're up there not having sex with each other, all of a sudden, like, the radar picks something up, and they look up, and there's a giant fucking ship.
Going right at them.
Yeah. They're like, oh, shit. So they got to do evasive maneuvers to try to not hit the ship. Good news, they don't hit the ship. Bad news, they run aground in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So they scrape the bottom, and now they're run aground somewhere, and they're not 100% sure where. Captain comes up. He starts yelling and screaming at everybody. What the hell happened? Well, I think we hit a ghost ship, you son of a bitch. Okay. Now we cut to the next morning. The captain is suddenly gone. He's just vanished.
Yeah.
We get to see the wreckage of a ship. I don't know if it was the ship that we thought we saw.
I think it was supposed to be the ship.
I think it was supposed to be.
Yeah, but it didn't look the same.
No, it's all wrecked.
Yeah.
Rusted out. And it's run aground, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all fucked up. They're like, what the hell? Look at that thing. Yeah, how the hell did you miss that in the middle of the night?
Mm-hmm.
But they can see an island right there, like right where they are. So that's good. So we don't know where the captain is. We think maybe he went ashore to try to find some help. So that's what we're going to do. We start loading everybody up. We have one lifeboat,
mm-hmm.
which is about the size of this desk.
Yeah.
And we have fucking punk-ass Norman who wants to bring all of his luggage.
Yeah.
Which is like five or six giant carry-on bags.
Mm-hmm.
At first, they're like, yeah, okay, well, we got to make a few trips anyway. So they go, and then on their way back, they find the captain because it's a glass-bottom rowboat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's John Carradine, all 90 years old of him, underneath the boat. It's supposed to be dead guy, right? I tell you what, man. I hope I look that good at 90.
Right?
I don't know if he was actually 90, but he's old as shit. And apparently he was out swimming around or something,
mm-hmm.
maybe trying to figure out what happened to the crankshaft. He's so worried about the crankshaft. Anyway, he's dead, and now we got to get everybody ashore. So we get everybody ashore. We'll start traipsing around the island, and now we're getting like more underwater footage, but now we get to see our Nazi zombies.
Yeah.
They're all in a watery grave, and they're all popping up, and they're walking around the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Zombies on the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off. Now, good news, while we're there at the deserted island, we find like a big building. So somebody must be here, right?
Yeah.
So we start headed towards the building. What it is I would say like an abandoned resort.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
A hotel, maybe.
Yeah.
I
swear I've seen that resort in a few different movies.
It wouldn't surprise me. It was actually filmed at the Biltmore on the Tampa Bay Beach,
ooh.
Which was abandoned for about 4 years during the time of this shooting. It's since been renovated and is now back in business.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So anyway, they're looking around. There's nobody there. The place is completely abandoned. And all of a sudden, they hear classical music out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Where's this music coming from? So they start running around trying to find the source of the music. They find it. It's a little record player sitting in a hallway.
Yeah.
So they run down there. They're like, well, somebody must be here. This music didn't play itself. And this is where we meet the island's sole inhabitant, Peter Cushing.
Yes.
Peter Cushing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a Nazi even when he's not a Nazi.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he played that guy in Star Wars, and he was kind of Nazi-esque, mm-hmm. you know, playing the, what is that, the Empire?
Yeah.
Or whatever that is. Like, all the times he's played Van Helsing,
yeah,
he's always looked like a Nazi Van mm-hmm. Helsing.
Yeah.
And he's like 90 years old. He can't be more than 120 pounds.
Right.
Yeah, those movies are silly, dude, those old Dracula movies.
Because
mm-hmm. you had, like, 6'2", 180-pound Christopher Lee as Dracula.
Yeah.
And here comes, you know, little old man Peter Cushing. And it's got to look like Peter Cushing is beating the shit out of great big Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
That takes some acting on Christopher Lee's part. Because, you know, nobody's buying that, buddy.
Feels like Kitty Bitterpants.
Ow, my eye! Yeah. I'm okay, but seriously, ow! God! So that's great. He comes down. He's like, what are you doing? He's got doing his best German accent.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Why are you here now? And they're like, well, hey, you know, we ran aground and we don't mean to bother you, but we'd like to get the fuck out of here if you can do that. And he's like, how did you run aground? What are you even talking about? And they're like, well, there's that fucking other shipwreck out there, you know, and We didn't see it in the middle of the night, and our fucking radar was off, apparently, and we almost hit it, but we tried to avoid it, and we ran aground, and now we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, shipwreck? There's no shipwreck out there. And he's like, yeah, it's a great big one right over there. And he's like, what was the name on the shipwreck? And they said, the Praetorian. So he's like, oh, shit. And then you just see him just haul ass out.
Yeah. And then, beelines out.
Yeah. And this is where we get a better look at Peter Cushing. He looks very Nazi-esque here.
Mm-hmm.
No swastikas or anything, but he's got like a big scarred up face, big scar on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He's rocking an ascot.
Yeah.
And he's got his guns out, but apparently he left his biceps in his other luggage because he didn't have any.
No.
So a little scrawny old man running around. He goes out there and he sees the wreckage of the Praetorian and he's like, oh, fuck. So he goes running back inside. In the meantime, we have our group of jack-offs walking around trying to get a feel for this place. It's completely abandoned. Doesn't look like anybody's lived there in quite some time, which begs the question of how the hell Peter Cushing lived there.
Right.
Because I don't see any food sources or anything right. like that. But whatever. I'm not here to pick this apart.
Yeah, where's the power coming from?
It is, yeah. they get all kind of, you know, figured... kind of sort of figure things out for the night. The next morning, they're like, okay, well, we got to eat. We brought a bunch of food from the ship that we ran aground in. So let's send Dobbs, the alcoholic, overweight alcoholic guy, back to the lifeboat to get the cans of food and bring it back here to the resort.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, I'll do it because it's my fucking job. Dobbs was a real peach, by the way.
Yeah.
Why would you send him? You know, why would you send him by himself? More to the point, the guy's like 80 years old. He's a big fat fuck.
Drunk half the time.
Yeah. And if the zombies hadn't have gotten him, he probably would have had a heart attack on the way going through the mud. Yeah. All right, whatever. Dobbs goes out and he goes back to the lifeboat, gets a big sack of canned food, and then he starts heading back. He's walking through like a swampy area, and for some reason he takes his shoes off.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all.
No, I don't know either. And this was, again, we're dealing with some real dipshits here.
Yeah.
I don't think the zombies even touch Dobbs. Because you see him step on something and he's like,
a sea urchin.
Yeah. And then he falls face first and his face lands on the sea urchin.
Yeah.
Which I guess we'll just say are highly poisonous or something like that.
And super sharp.
Sure. Sure. I'll buy that. And now Dobbs is dead.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy to call that an accident.
Yeah.
Call it a job hazard, you fucker.
Right.
He
got scared, fell, died.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, one of those zombie guys did pop up, like, right before. So the zombie made no effort to help him. No. So that's kind of like, you know, omission is a sin. So you didn't, you know, you got to help somebody, you zombie fuck. All right.
So, it'd be funny to watch the zombie, like, pout and walk away.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
I never get to kill anybody. God damn it. Hans and Franz back there got to kill like six guys once. Every time I show up, they just trip and fall. Bullshit. Anyway, it's stupid. Oh, poor Dieter. The frustrated Nazi zombie.
That's right.
This is bullshit. I'm always the blue team leader. I want to be red team. So now we cut back to the rest of the group. They're like, well, we're waiting on breakfast there, Dobbsy. Where the fuck are you? Rose decides she's going to go try to figure out what's going on. She goes out and she was supposed to do some skinny dipping, I read.
Yeah.
But Brooke Adams decided she didn't want to show her bubbies.
Yeah.
She ended up showing them in a different movie a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't count for us.
Right.
She goes out for a little swim and then she goes through a lagoon and then she like ends up in the same swamp and accidentally bumps into dead Dobbs.
Yeah.
Who is, his face is all swollen, but that could have been from the sea urchin attack, mm-hmm. I guess. She screams, and then that sends everybody running her way, and then, oh shit, there's dead Dobbs. At this point, Keith, the kind of alpha male of the group, is like, well, I'm gonna go track that German guy down and see what his problem is.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and tracks down Peter Cushing, and he's like, hey, man, look, we don't want to be here. You don't want us to be here. We get that. How about you just help us get the fuck out of here, and then you can go back to being a lonely old hermit?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, great idea. There is a little boat, and if you get into it, it's got the sail, and then you get into a lagoon. You go past the lagoon, and then you sail about 2 miles to another island, and there you will be picked up, most likely. And he's like, perfect. Let me round up my gang of miscreants here, and then we'll head over to the boat. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's exactly what he does. He gets everybody together. They just leave Dobbs, because nobody liked Dobbs to begin with. They do bring the food.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the little boat. It's like a little sailboat. It's not. It's bigger than the lifeboat, but it's like a little clipper kind of a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could have fit. You're down to six people at this point.
Right? And they all fit in there.
They probably could have.
Yeah.
Well, not that we're going to find out, because we got some more stupidity coming our way. So they're like, okay, well, everybody get in the little boat here, and then we got to push it, because the lagoon isn't deep enough to like row it out. So they get it. They're all outside of the boat, and they're pushing it through the lagoon into the canal. And then they come to a point in the beach where like it's deep enough for people to start getting in. And this is when Beverly, Norman's wife, just decides to do a swan dive. I think the implication was that she tripped on something.
Yeah, and fell in somehow.
But she just, you could tell, she just went, bye!
Yeah, we need you to fall out the boat.
Yeah, as gracefully. Keith is like, or no, I think Chuck was like, oh shit, I'll go help her. Chuck's got a bag, and there's a gun in the bag, and like some other, like a flare gun and some other supplies. He's like, let me go back and help Beverly. Beverly gets up out of the water, but then she just stands there wiping the water out of her face for like an extra 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, the boat is continuing to move out into the ocean. Okay, now Keith is like, come on. So he comes back to help Beverly. At this point, Norman, Beverly, Chuck, and Keith are all trying to get Beverly back into the boat. But now the Nazis have showed up,
mm-hmm.
and they're like harassing the group. This leaves Rose out there. She manages to get in the boat, and they get the sail up, and now she's headed off to sea by herself.
Yep.
So, good news, they managed to get the Nazis away from Bev. Bad news, Rose is now, like, out past the surf.
Yeah.
So, Keith is like, hey, turn it around and come pick us up. And she's like, huh? Bring it about and come pick us up. You got to take the sail and move it to the other side. And okay, yeah. And then the jib swings around and knocks Rose right off the boat.
It knocks her out a little bit.
Keith tries to swim after the boat, but then the boat just fucking sets sail all by itself and it's gone. You stupid fucking bitch. You had one job.
Yeah.
You take the thing and you move it to the other side, and then the boat comes backwards.
Yeah, that not all of them need to jump out of the boat in the first place.
No, no.
He was doing fine on his own. He was swimming right out to her. And
no, here comes Norman. Honey, are you okay? Yeah. And then here comes Keith. Hey, we gotta go. And now all of them are just standing there, and Rose, who has no clue about anything sailing, huh? You got a month? Yeah. Boom. This was like an outtake from Captain Ron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You fucking jerk offs. But now they're all just kind of standing there dumbfounded on the beach, and here comes the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
So they all hit the beach, and they all take off running in separate directions. You got Rose and Norman go firing off into the swampy area. Chuck, Keith, and Beverly, they just kind of show up back at the resort.
Yeah.
No idea where they went or how they got there. I like to think that they had a threesome off in the woods. Because you know Beverly has had enough of Norman.
Oh, yeah.
And she's at a sexually adventurous time in her life. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? She's hit that menopausal peak.
Yep.
And she needs two dicks, buddy. Two of them.
Yeah.
One of them, preferably with a weird Richard Simmons fro.
Yeah.
A pube fro.
A pube fro.
But on a white guy, which is very weird.
A disco ball down below.
You're out of line, man. Yeah, so that's what happens. Norman and Rose gets like tripped up in the swamp, and Norman just takes off and leaves her. Rose is like, oh God, get back here, Norman. And then she kind of now finds herself on her own. She makes it back to like the patio area of the resort, where she gets attacked by one of these zombies. Now, I should mention that, as Buddy alluded to, we use the term zombie very loosely in this film, simply because we don't know what else to call them.
Yeah.
They are Nazis. They all have platinum blonde hair. They're very pale. They're very ugly. They have like boils and shit on their faces. Mm-hmm. And they're all wearing goggles. And I'm not sure what the point of the goggles was.
Right.
But it kind of gives them like a cool, like,
yeah,
you know, Dieter from Sprockets vibe. I felt like.
Right? Very steampunk.
Yeah, very, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking of. But she gets into a, you know, a little bit of a tussle with one of the zombies. Again, zombie used loosely. He's not like trying to bite her or eat her. He's like trying to choke her. And there's a lot of grabbing. In the tussle, his goggles, the zombie's goggles, get knocked off. And that just completely like blinds him. And he just staggers around for a few minutes. And then he lays down on the pavement. And that's where he is. I don't know if he dies or because all the zombies look exactly the same.
Yeah.
So he might get back up. Later on, we'll see a zombie running around without goggles. That might be him. Or that might not. I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of the goggles was. But apparently, if you knock the goggles off them, it fucks them up long enough to do something.
Disorients them somehow.
So, yeah, so that's good. We figured that out. Now, what's a fucking... Rose makes it back to the resort where we find that Norman has reconvened with the other group. Mm-hmm. And they all go and they storm into the office of Peter Cushing. And they're like, hey, man, the fuck is going on here? And he's like, well, I tell you. Turns out he was like the commanding officer of the super secret Nazi undead party. And they had set sail right before the end of World War II. And they kind of just sailed out there adrift, trying to figure out what to do, waiting for orders. But the orders never came because Nazi Germany fell. So at that point, he realized that these fucking guys aren't going to die and they're not going to go live normal lives anywhere. So he waited till they were all asleep and then he sank the ship with them in it. And he thought he was good to go.
Mm-hmm.
He swam ashore to this abandoned resort island, and he's been living there ever since. And he's like, okay, now you all need to get the fuck out of here. Next time I see you, I will shoot you on sight.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cryptic.
Yeah.
And what's strange is we don't see Peter Cushing again for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they got him too, or... He was just watching the whole time from his office.
Oh, they did get him.
Did they?
Yeah, because he was out there later on, like, wandering out in the water area. He was, like, looking around stuff, and then one of them, like, came up and choked him, brought him in the water.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. There's a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of just pop up, grab him, take him down.
Yes.
And then we assume that they're dead from there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well.
I don't know exactly where he was going, but... He kept turning around like, am I being followed?
Does it matter? You're on a fucking deserted island.
Yeah.
Of course you're being followed. There's nowhere to go.
Right.
So, yeah, clearly. All right. Anyway, they're like, okay, well, shit. What we'll do, we'll wait till the sun comes up because now it's starting to be nightfall.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back on our shitty little lifeboat and we'll see if we can't paddle the 2 miles since our sailboat is gone. And that's what we're going to try and do.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Now, this part doesn't make a lick of sense to me. They decide to spend the night in the refrigerator. They have like a giant walk-in freezer that apparently isn't too cold. Keith says, well, they don't like the light, right? Assuming that the goggles thing was some kind of a problem. But it's pitch black in the walk-in refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make sense to spend the night in there?
Didn't make sense for the light reason. However... They locked themselves in there, so, I mean, it was a real thick air, you know, thick walls and steel doors or whatever.
Big, heavy doors.
So, I don't think they would have noticed they were in there. They wouldn't have seen them or heard them. I don't know how those zombie whatevers work, but
okay.
I think they were safe in there because they wouldn't have found them. I mean, those zombie things were going crazy, just tearing up everything.
Yeah, they decided to have their own little... party there in the resort and just basically kick the shit out of all the furniture.
Yeah, so I think they were safe in there.
Okay.
You know, yeah, there's no food, no bathroom, but at least they could chill and not worry about anything.
Yeah, very true. Okay, that makes sense. But we do have one problem here, buddy.
Yes, we do.
And it's got a big stupid white guy fro on it.
Yeah.
And its name is Chuck. And we're going to find out we're going to find out that Chuck is severely claustrophobic.
Yeah.
So he's like waiting to the very last possible second to get in the freezer with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually they get him in and he just immediately starts freaking out.
He's like,
I got to get out of here. Oh, and he's all sweaty.
Somebody should have knocked him out.
That's probably the best bet.
Mm-hmm.
He lasts all of about 14 minutes in the freezer.
Yeah.
You gotta let me out of here, man. You gotta let me out. I'm not gonna die in here. And everyone's like, hey, calm your ass down. And eventually, of course, he makes a move for the door. And they try to stop him, but then he pulls out a flare gun on everybody.
Yeah,
idiot. Get away from me, you motherfuckers! Ah! So, okay, they let him out, but they would like to keep the flare gun. Or no, he wants the flashlight. And they're like, no, we're not giving you the flashlight. He's like, I need all the help I can get. Get fucked, man. They're trying to get the flashlight. He's trying to get it. They're trying to keep it. In the struggle, he fires off a fucking... He gets his hand smashed in the door, but he squeezes off the trigger on the flare gun, so he sends a red flare into the freezer.
Yeah.
Now everybody's got to come running out.
Mm-hmm.
These are the stupidest fucking people ever.
Yeah.
Well, now all the zombies, of course, know where they are, because they're all screaming and coughing, because they're mm-hmm. breathing red phosphorus. They come out, here comes the zombies, everybody scatters.
Yeah.
All right, great. What do we got? We got Chuck and I think Norman, was it? They take off running one direction. They get to the swimming pool area.
Yeah.
That's okay. They get down there. Norman, like, falls in, and before he barely gets his head back up out of the water, one of the Nazis is in the water and grabs him and pulls him down.
Mm-hmm.
No more Norman. Chuck, like, jumps in because he didn't see what happened to Norman, but he sees another zombie coming at him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I'm going to jump in the pool. He jumps in. I don't know what the point of that was. He swims to the shallow end, and that zombie is now at the shallow end waiting for him. Now, there's another zombie already in the pool, the one that killed Norman.
Yeah.
So now Chuck is, like, in a pickle between these two zombies. Luckily, he kind of does, like, a okey-doke on the in-the-pool zombie
yeah.
and gets around him, but then he starts climbing up the ladder, and the first zombie just lazily walks around the pool and kicks him right back into the water. Stupid. And that's where zombie number one, which was the one that killed Norman, grabs Chuck and gets Chuck, pulls him under too.
Yeah.
Chuck's now out of the equation.
Yep.
Cut to Beverly. She took off on her own. Here's a weird thing for you. One of the first things they find when they get to the island is a fish tank full of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Where the fuck is this guy getting fish food? Right. And they're like tropical fish, yeah. too. You need special food for those fucking things.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Beverly is running around. She never left the kitchen area, which is right outside, because the zombies were already there, and they all took off running after the other survivors. So she thought, smartly, I'll just hunker down here. The zombies will go chasing those clowns. I'll be perfectly fine right here. Unfortunately, it doesn't work out that way because one of them doubles back. And we don't get to see exactly what happened to Beverly other than we'll find her body in the morning all tied up and laying in the big fish tank.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume they drowned her in the fish tank.
Yeah.
Which is kind of humiliating, really. I mean, there's.
Yeah.
I don't want to be killed by a Nazi zombie.
Mm-mm.
But if I do, I'll take a stabbing to death. I'll eat me. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Put me in a fucking fish tank. Come on. Come on, man.
Right.
At least make it look like I put up a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put me in a fish tank. You probably just showed up and told her to get in the fish tank. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's get right in.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, while that all that's going on, so basically at this point, we're down to Keith and Rose. Unironically, they decide to hide in an oven because that's the good place to hide from Nazis is yeah. in ovens. I'm going to spare you the history lesson here, inmates, but yikers.
Mm-hmm.
But successfully, they do manage to hide in the oven throughout the night. Morning comes, they get out. Now they're all covered in black schmutz. They're going to make a run for it. They get up and out. They head back to the beach where they left their little paddle boat, flip it over, get pushing it out there. Everything's going pretty good. They hop in. They start rowing. Nazi number three, I guess, pops out of the water, grabs Keith, and pulls him under. I think what happened, I could be wrong about this, but my interpretation is that once Nazi number three got him under the water, he took that oar line or whatever it was and wrapped it around Keith's neck.
Yeah.
Because Rose was trying to get the oar out, so she's yanking on the oar line, mm-hmm. and then it's that glass bottom boat again. You see Keith's dead body kind of float past, mm-hmm. and it's got the oar line wrapped around his neck. Yeah. So it's kind of like Rose killed Keith inadvertently.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then from there, we cut to Rose, you know, drifting off into the sea and then getting rescued by the fishermen. And then she's in a hospital bed writing all this stuff down.
Yep.
And that's pretty much the end of your movie there, buddy. I got a kill count of 6. That's pretty much everybody except for Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, man. I'm a sucker for Nazi zombies. What do you think? You didn't like it. Yeah, I can tell.
It was okay.
I can tell by the look on your face. Here comes some naysaying, buddy.
Yeah, no.
What didn't you like about it, man?
Very slow. There wasn't a whole lot of action. I mean, it was like, I don't know, watching them walk through the water or whatever at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, you know, how much of this are they going to do? And, yeah.
I like it. Anytime there's zombies like in the ocean floor, anytime there's zombies doing something that most zombies don't do, I'm into that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Nazi zombies. I'm a sucker for anything World War II. I don't understand the goggle thing.
No.
A little dialogue could have fixed that. You know?
Yeah.
Oof, mine soldiers were very sensitive to photo radiation. It's because of the treatment that we give them and the whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the things I did appreciate about the movie is, you know, obviously if you're dead, you don't breathe.
Right.
So when they're under the water, you don't see any bubbles. No. I thought that was pretty cool. Well, at least they stuck with that.
Yeah, that's a fun detail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked it, man. I liked it. I got it on Blu-ray. I watched bonus features. All that shit.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to get a Shockwaves t-shirt, buddy. Hope there's not a swastika on it. I don't want to get beat up or anything, you know? It's streaming right now on Tubi and Mates. If we've piqued your curiosity, go ahead and check it out. See what you think.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I think we'll take us a little break, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey inmates, if you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's time for a little meat hook action.
Mm-hmm.
Three on a meat hook.
This week's meat hook. Nazi horror films, or really any kind of World War II based horror film, I think. If it's World War II, you know there's going to be Nazis in it, though. So really, it's one and the same. Yeah, you got your list ready there, big guy?
Yeah.
How about number 3?
Dead Snow, 2009.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
More of a comedy, I think.
I
mean, Colonel Herzog, though. Those motherfucking Nazis.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers. That's a great show, man. It's like Evil Dead with Nazi zombies.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and you got me into the Dead Snow. I absolutely love them.
They'll get you with machine guns.
Yeah.
And shit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen the second one, but now they got tanks and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. You're in big trouble with those Nazi zombies.
Right?
My number three, Nazi ghosts, buddy.
Oh.
Ghost ship.
Mm.
Yeah. Haunted ship. Nazi torture ship.
Yeah.
Adrift at sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Very suspenseful. You don't know that it's a Nazi torture ship until like three quarters of the movie.
Right.
But the weird shit has already started. Mm-hmm. So it plays a lot like The Shining at sea, I feel
right.
like.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
How about number two?
Outpost.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot, too. I like that one because those fucking Nazis, they are violent.
Yeah, they are.
And they're... I mean, I don't know what else you call them, but they're not looking to eat you.
Mm-mm.
And like the way when the trip flares get hit and they're all just standing along, they're
yeah.
like, oh, fuck off.
Oh, yeah.
And then they come creepy down and shit. Start stabbing the shit out of everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big problems with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the what I really like about that one is the bunker aspect.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You find this abandoned World War II installation. They've just been chilling down there the whole time.
Yeah.
Just hanging, waiting mm-hmm. for somebody to open that hatch so that they can continue their war.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying
mm-hmm.
to me. My number two, Dead Snow.
Yeah.
It's Dead Snow.
Yeah.
You can't do much better than that, especially for a foreign film, I think.
Right.
It's unsettling from the start just because, you know, the snowmobiles break down. Here comes this blizzard. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere, there's a fucking knock at the front door, and it's a random dude who just happens to be in that particular stretch of completely isolated wilderness, and he wants to come in and have a cup of coffee with you. Yeah. So you let him in, and he just has a cup of coffee, and he's back out there in the fucking blizzard.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's creepy by itself. Let's
right.
not even bother with the undead anti-Semites out there.
Right.
Fucking shit. Right on. How about number one, buddy?
My number one, Dead Snow 2.
Dead Snow 2. I figured that.
Yeah.
That one really ratches up the comedy.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Especially when they get into the World War II Museum and they get the tank out.
Yeah.
And they've got that whole armored column marching down.
Mm-hmm.
But then with Colonel Herzog's arm... You managed to raise the Russian zombies
yeah.
to go fight the Nazi zombie. Okay. Now it's going down, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right on. My number one, Blood Vessel.
Oh, okay.
Nazi vampires.
Wow.
A couple of things. It was a very close tie for number one. I also liked Overlord quite a bit.
Yeah, I thought about that one.
The problem I have with Overlord is that they very... politely and delicately tiptoed around the fact that we're dealing with Nazis.
Right.
No swastikas. Not that I'm looking for them.
Right.
No mention of Hitler or the Third Reich or any... I mean, it's clear everybody's speaking German.
Right.
Everybody talking about parachuting into enemy territory.
Mm-hmm.
We clearly know what we're doing, who these people are and what's going on here.
Yes.
Why we can't just call them Nazis and throw out a swastika here or there. I don't understand that.
Right.
But you get a double helping of that in Blood Vessel.
Yes.
Like the ship pulls up and it's got the huge Swazi on the...
Yep.
On the okay, well, now these fucking Nazis. These yeah. guys are fucking Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the vampire gets out on the ship there, all kinds of hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's our top three Nazploitation movies. I mean, Nazploitation is like a different kind of Nazi horror movie. Because that yeah. just focuses on like the atrocities of the Third Reich and, you know, the concentration camps and the POW camps and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always like a weird sexual tension to it. Like all the Ilsa movies. You ever seen those?
Oh, yeah.
She-Wolf of the SS.
Mm-hmm.
It's like weird... fetish porn.
Yeah.
At a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no war going on here. It's just a bunch of latex horny chicks.
Mm-hmm.
They're hot as shit, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very busty, that Ilsa.
Mm-hmm.
And she can take a dick like nobody's business. I'll be honest with you. She has an appetite.
Hmm.
We would like to know what your top three Nazi horror movies are, inmates. As usual, get a hold of us by next week if you can. Mental Health Hotline is area code 775-387-0275, or just go to paddedroompodcast.com, click the meat hook link, and let us know. In the meantime, we got to tell you what movies we got to watch this week in a little segment called What Are You Looking At?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Yes, sir. How about Discarnate from 2018?
Oh.
Guy, professor, loses his son, and then his wife commits suicide. So he goes on like an ayahuasca trip to access the spirit world. And then he tries to create like a pharmaceutical-grade variant of it. So he brings in a control group to conduct experiments. And, of course, they go to the other side and bring something back with them.
Wow.
It's all right. It's kind of low budget.
Okay.
The Hunted from 2013.
Mm.
What's his name there? Josh. The guy from The Collector. Josh fucking. What the hell is his name? It's like a found footage hunting. It's like these two guys are trying to launch a hunting reality show.
Mm-hmm.
But they end up in like a haunted hunting ground kind of a thing. It's pretty cool. It's not bad for being found footage. It's low budget as shit, of course. But Josh Stewart is his name.
Hmm.
If I showed you a picture of him, you'd recognize him.
Right.
It's the guy from, he was in the third Insidious movie, I think, or fourth.
Okay.
And the Collector movies and Hunted, obviously. From Beyond, 1986.
Oh.
Classic.
Yeah.
I submit that you can still beat off to this movie.
Really?
Yes. When Barbara Crampton gets in her funky S&M outfit and starts playing with Jeffrey Combs' dick while he's asleep, that's kind of hot, you know? Mm-hmm. To me, it's kind of hot. I'm just saying. Final Cut from 1980.
Oh, yeah.
Australian. Very weird. Very strange movie. Basically, this documentarian guy goes to this big Playboy producer's like high-rise apartment for a weekend. He wants to make a documentary about the producer and his lifestyle and his creative influences and things like that. But the producer is just a fucking weirdo, and he ends up drugging the documentarian guy, making him do a bunch of weird shit with his wife, make him think he kills somebody else. It's like a whole psychological thing.
Hmm.
Everybody gets killed in the end. It's great. The 13th Floor from 1988, also Australian.
Wow.
High rise, completely abandoned 13th floor because nobody, I guess everybody in Australia is really superstitious. And
right.
They don't want anything up there. So a couple of squatters move in up there.
Hmm.
And naturally nothing good happens from that point on.
Okay.
Kind of boring, actually. and lastly, The Autopsy of Jane Doe from 2016.
Yeah.
That was on Joe Bob's Last Drive-In last week. He did the whole rundown about witchcraft. They do this thing on Joe Bob called Walpurgisnacht.
Hmm.
You ever heard of it?
Hmm.
It's like the second Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like this pagan ritual. He runs you through the whole history of it, and it's a German thing. It sounds like fun if you're jonesing for another Halloween in April. So you get drunk and then you're supposed to have like an orgy, I think is what it boils down
to.
I'm ready to celebrate Walpurgisnacht. I will get just as hammered as you and I will probably pass out before the orgy. But I will love to hear the stories the day after and not have to clean up is what I would like to do. That's all I'm looking at, buddy. What do you got?
Just one movie. I was able to check out 2022's On the Line with Mel Gibson.
Okay. Oh, that's one where he's a radio show host,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, he plays that asshole radio host that nobody likes. And,
yeah.
And then somebody comes in and, like, wants to bomb the whole place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it all ends up on the air, of course.
Yeah.
Pretty good movie.
Pretty good show.
Yeah. There's twists and turns throughout the movie, and it's actually a really good watch.
Cool. Very cool. Worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Well, I think it's time for some immersion therapy then, inmates.
Yeah.
Immersion therapy.
Late Night with the Devil, buddy.
Yeah.
Good show, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Holy.
That was awesome.
Yeah, dude. I love the way that it doesn't break from that late night format.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you could tell this dude is just trying to keep the show moving.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to get to the end credits so he can get the fuck out of there.
Yep.
But now we got this guy ripping worms out of himself.
Oh,
we got
man.
A little girl levitating and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fucking fuck.
Yeah, what a great show.
Yeah, dude. It's very innovative. Mm-hmm. I would not have thought that you could make that late night Johnny Carson, David Letterman thing into a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, not, I mean, I suppose you could, but not to a point where you keep it in that tight hour and
yeah.
a half
uh-huh.
and not leave that late night format.
Yeah. Everything was well done in it.
Oh, yeah. Blow your face right off you there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for us this week?
All right, this week let's check out 2023's Baghead. This is about a young woman that inherits a rundown pub and discovers a dark secret within its basement. Baghead, a shape-shifting creature that will let you speak to lost loved ones, but not without consequence. You'll find this gem on Shudder.
Check that shit out, inmates. We'll do the same, and we can compare notes next week. But now, it is time to educate me.
Yeah.
Educating Miss Monica.
First, my clues from last week. My mom was a aspiring horror starlet, but she got killed in a car accident. Now the only way I can see her is if I watch her old movies. Very depressing until I went to a film festival and the goddamn theater caught on fire. So I had to jump through the screen to escape. And I'll be goddamn if I didn't end up in the movie with my mom, who is a character, but she's the actual character. She's not my mom, and she doesn't know me. And now I got to keep her alive from the psycho out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got these dipshit camp counselors that are completely idiots. It seem like they want to get killed by this guy. Try to keep them alive, too. I am, of course, Final Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that one, buddy?
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
I love that one. Who might I be this week, you ask? Well, I am a 16-year-old runaway trying to get to Florida from Pittsburgh. I was doing pretty good. I was hitchhiking a lot. Got picked up by a couple of dudes. Unfortunately, our van broke down, and now we have to walk. And we thought the local police officers were going to help us out, but it turns out they're not police officers. They're a psycho family that have murdered some police officers and are now parading around in their uniforms. Fuck. Now I'm in a dog cage. My two hitchhiking buddies have already been killed. They're talking about sacrificing me to the devil at midnight. What the shit am I going to do? Who might I be, you ask? Tune in next week and I'll drop some knowledge on you, inmates.
Ooh.
In the meantime, I think that's about it for us. Thank you very much for joining us, inmates. Join us next week for the original Mummy from 1932.
Yeah.
Kicking off Mummy Month.
Mummy Month.
Here in the padded room.
Yes.
Like, comment, subscribe, of course, wherever you found this show. That helps our visibility quite a bit. We do have a Patreon campaign running. If anybody gives a shit, just go to paddedroompodcast.com. You'll find the link there along with any kind of information you need about us. All of our previous shows, all 627 of them, for fuck's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a dick pic gallery that's going on there, too. Most of the penises have my face on them. It's amazing. Things that people can do with Photoshop these days.
Right.
In the meantime, buddy, you got anything else on the week?
No.
All right. For Buddy, Jason, Harrell, and Absentia, penises with my face on them, haunted ships and the undead anti-Semites that might inhabit them still, zombies, mummies, and the Padded Room Podcast, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye and have a great week.